two. One is composed of those who are trying to build the kind of world described in Articles 1 and 2 of the Charter. The other, seeking a very different world, would undermine this organization in the process. Today, of all days, our dedication to the Charter must be maintained. It must be strengthened. First of all, by the selection of an outstanding civil servant to carry forward the responsibilities of the Secretary General, a man endowed with both the wisdom and the power to make meaningful the moral force of the world community. The late Secretary General nurtured and sharpened the United Nations obligation to act, but he did not invent it. It was there in the Charter. It is still there in the Charter. However difficult it may be to fill Mr. Hammarskjöld's place, it can better be filled by one man rather than by three. Even the three horses of the Troika did not have three drivers, all going in different directions. They had only one, and so must the United Nations executive. To install a triumvirate, or any panel, or any rotating authority in the United Nations administrative offices would replace order with anarchy, action with paralysis, confidence with confusion. The Secretary General, in a very real sense, is the servant of this assembly. Diminish his authority, and you diminish the authority of the only body where all nations, regardless of power, are equal and sovereign. Until all the powerful are just, the weak will be secure only in the strength of the General Assembly. Effective and independent executive action is not the same question as balanced representation. In view of the enormous change in membership in this body since its founding, the American delegation will join in any effort for the prompt review and revision of the composition of the United Nations bodies. But to give this organization three drivers, to permit each great power to decide its own case, would entrench the Cold War in the headquarters of peace. Whatever advantages such a plan may hold out to my own country, as one of the great powers, we reject it. For we prefer a world law in the age of self-determination to world war in the age of mass extermination. Today, every inhabitant of this planet must contemplate the day when this planet may no longer be habitable. Every man, woman, and child lives under a nuclear sword of Damocles, hanging by the slenderest of threads, capable of being cut at any moment by accident or miscalculation or by madness. The weapons of war must be abolished